Welcome to the Sunday School Hour, where each lesson builds upon the foundation of Christ. Grab your Bible, and let's join our teacher, Joe Thornton, as he guides us in this week's study.
Well, today we're in Colossians chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 15 through 20. So if you're able to get your Bible, open it up and read along with me as I read Colossians chapter 1, beginning of verse number 15. The Bible says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." David Jeremiah, he introduces this section by writing, "The next passage we're approaching in Colossians is a powerfully reasoned presentation about the preeminence of Jesus Christ." The Apostle Paul felt, as Moody later did, that nothing can attack error like the clear presentation of the glory and the supremacy of Christ. The best defense is a good offense. Well, you'll notice here, first of all, in the first part of verse number 15, we're going to look at who Jesus is in relationship to the Father. This section that we're studying today, as Paul is exalting Christ to the church at Colossae, we're going to be looking at the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then later on we're going to be looking at the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this section, we're looking at the person of Christ. First of all, who Jesus is in relationship to the Father. Then secondly, who Jesus is in relationship to all creation. And then finally, who Jesus is in relationship to his church. The Bible says here in verse number 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God." And if you look at verse number 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Well, who is the image of the invisible God? The Bible tells us that God the Father is invisible. Look with me in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I'm going to be reading verse number 17. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now compare that with 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, the first part of verse 12. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 12, the Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time." Now compare that to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, and verse 18. The Bible says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." That's what the Apostle Paul is talking about in the book of Colossians when he says, "Who is the image of the invisible God?" There is an invisible realm that has been created by God. And we see reference to that in verse number 16 when we read, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible." So we know there is an invisible realm that's been created by God. But Jesus came and presented himself as the God-man. And Paul said he is the image of the Father. In Christ, in other words, the invisible God became visible. When you saw Jesus Christ, had you been living during the time of Christ's ministry upon the earth, and you saw the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, you'd be looking into the face of God, for he is the image of the invisible God. He is the visible God. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9, later on we'll get to that verse, but it says, "For in him," referring to Christ, "dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." When you looked at Jesus Christ, he is all God, not part God, not a little bit of God, not just a picture of God. He is very God in the flesh. If you go over to the book of Hebrews, really shows light upon this particular subject. The book begins this way in Hebrews chapter number 1. "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And then finally in the Gospel of John, chapter number 14. Gospel of John, chapter number 14. Let me read to you verses 7 through 9. The Bible says, "If ye had known me," Jesus is speaking here, "ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and this sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father?" The Lord Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the invisible made visible in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, not only do we see Jesus in his relationship to the Father, but secondly, we see Jesus in his relationship to all of creation. We're back in Colossians chapter number 1. Continue on here in verse number 15. Colossians chapter number 1, continuing on at verse number 15. "The firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." Then skip down to verse 20. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." He refers to him as the firstborn of every creature. Interesting, the Greek word and the English word can both be taken, the term firstborn, as first in time or first in rank. And the context demands that the word firstborn means first in rank, as Jesus is over all creation. When we think of the First Lady, we're thinking of the wife of the President of the United States, not that she's the first wife of the President, but she is the current one. She is the First Lady in rank. And so this is the way the word is used in this verse, that the Lord Jesus Christ is not first in time, he's first in rank. He's not been created, he is the Creator. Therefore, he is first in rank. "And by him all things were created." Interesting, the term "all things" is repeated four times in verses 16 through 17. The Bible tells us in the Gospel of John, as John begins his Gospel in chapter number 1, he introduces Jesus this way. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So Jesus Christ, He's not a created creature. He is the Creator. All things were created by Him and for Him. When you look at the things that God has created, everything has a purpose. All of creation began with the Creator, and all of us are made with a purpose in mind. God created the universe, He created the worlds, He created us with the goal of bringing glory to Himself. Creation begins with God, He sustains His creation, and the goal is to bring it all back to the Lord. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, he says in Romans chapter 11, verse number 36, "For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Each one of us has been created to bring glory to God. All of creation has been created to bring glory to God. It is the goal of all creation. Over in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 8, John the Revelator, he writes this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, referring to Christ, it says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." All of history, the past, the present, the future, to bring glory and honor to the Creator. And Paul says, "And He is before all things." He's before all things. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 8, Gospel of John, chapter number 8. The Bible says in verse 52, "Then said the Jews unto Him, Now we know that Thou hast a devil, and Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and Thou sayest, If a man keep My saying, he shall never taste of death. Art Thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest Thou Thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I honor Myself, My honor is nothing. It is My Father that honoreth Me, of whom ye say that He is your God. Yet ye have not known Him, but I know Him. And if I should say I know Him not, I shall be a liar like unto you, but I know Him, and keep His saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see My day, and he saw it, and was glad. Then said the Jews unto Him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Behold, for Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at Him, but Jesus hid Himself, and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." Jesus is the I Am of the Old Testament. When Moses saw the burning bush, and God spoke to him out of that bush, that was Jesus, the I Am. We're in the Gospel of John. Look over to chapter 17 of John and verse number 5. The Bible says in verse 5, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." As God, Jesus had no beginning. His birth in Bethlehem as the God-man was not His beginning. He has no beginning. He's the eternal God. He veiled Himself with flesh for a time. Go to the cross and there to pay my sin debt and your sin debt. But before that time, He had no beginning. And the Bible says, "And by Him all things consist." In other words, Jesus is the sustainer of all creation. He is the glue that holds all of creation together. There's coming a time that even creation itself will be reconciled to God. Because of sin, this world's a mess. The Bible goes on to say, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him, I say, whether they be things on earth or things in heaven. One day all of creation will be what God intended it to be. We're waiting for that day. We're yearning for that day. But that's true of us as individuals as well. God came to this earth, went to the cross of Calvary. He lived a perfect life. He paid the sin debt that you and I could not pay. He did all of those things. Why? Because we need to be reconciled to God as individuals. Sin has separated us from God. But it's through the cross that God offers us reconciliation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 10, the scriptures very clearly say, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Because of his resurrection from the dead, you and I can live as well." I don't think any of us would argue the fact that all of creation is out of sync. This creation, this world, it's not what God intended it to be. When we see catastrophes come into our world, don't blame God. God's not the fault. God didn't create that world to operate the way it's operating today. Sin is what caused the upheaval. Sin is what caused the problems in our world today. Disease and catastrophes and all of these things are the result of the curse and of sin in our lives and in our world. Interesting, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth." There's coming a day that God's going to make all things right. All things are going to be made right. But one day, each and every one of us is going to have to give an account. And if you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior today, you're going to have to give an account for your sin. Or you can trust Christ, who's already paid that debt for you. The curse is a result of sin. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, and you look in chapter 3, and you read verses 17 through 19 with me as I read along. Sin is introduced into the world. And in Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, the Bible says, "And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." We live in a broken world today, and it's the result of sin. Just as Jesus has reconciled believers to himself, he will also one day reconcile all of creation. Oh, this is exciting to contemplate. This is going to happen one day. And it's recorded in Romans chapter 8, and it tells us about this creation. And in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 18, the Apostle Paul, he writes, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, or the creation, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature, the creation, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also. We have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. God not only reconciles believers to himself, but one day he's going to reconcile his creation. And you and I that know the Lord Jesus Christ will be there to enjoy it when it happens. What an exciting time to look forward to. Well, let's finish up here in verse number 18, Colossians chapter number 1. The Bible says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things he might have the preeminence." What the Apostle Paul is, he's reminding the believers at Colossae that in the midst of the false teachers, the philosophies and the good works and all of these things that were trying to be introduced into the church, all of them were dethroning or diminishing the work of Christ. The church is to always put Jesus Christ first and him alone. Faith in Christ and in him alone for salvation. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus should have the preeminence. I remember years ago, I used to have some chickens, and it was time for us to slaughter some chickens so we could eat some fried chicken. And my dad, back in the day, used to have chickens when he was a kid, and he knew how to do all of that. So he came to our house, and best that I remember, he got him a piece of a stump, and he took a hammer and nails, and he nailed a couple nails into that wood. And then he'd take a live chicken, and he'd situate it where its head, where its neck, if you will, was between those two nails, and it would hold everything in place long enough for him to chop the head off of that chicken. Now, theoretically, once the head was chopped off of that chicken was, for all purposes, was dead. But you'd never know it. That chicken was running all over the chicken yard without a head, running here, flapping there, going all over the place. But theoretically, I mean, not just theoretically, that chicken was dead, but it didn't know it was dead. You know, the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And unfortunately, I'm here to tell you there's a lot of churches today who have cut the Lord Jesus Christ off. He no longer has preeminence in their church, and they may be making a lot of noise. But spiritually, that kind of a church is dead. You want to know why? Because when you cut the head off, you die. And if Jesus Christ is not the head of the church, it's a church that is spiritually dead. Jesus must be preeminent in his church. So if you're not going to a church where Jesus Christ is the head of that church, you need to be looking for another church. Now the Bible tells us that in the big scheme of things, all believers make up his church. One day he's going to rapture us and take us home and we'll all be gathered together. There's many believers throughout the world that make up the body of Christ. Epaphras and Paul feared that Jesus might lose his preeminence at the local church in Colossae because of false teachers. But he reminds them, Jesus is enough. All you need is Jesus. You don't need the philosophies. You don't need the good works. You don't need any of those things. Jesus is all that you need. My friend, I want to leave you with this thought. Jesus also needs to be preeminent, not just in our churches, but in our individual lives.
This has been the Sunday School Hour with Joe Thornton. Join us again next Sunday at the same time on this good station.